on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition, May 27th of InvestTalk. I appreciate you being with me. We're here to talk about your money, and of course, that means about how to manage it and the options involved. We're mostly about investing and using the power of the stock market, of course, to grow your money by investing in, you know, worthy, good, earning, solid companies. We don't buy stocks in companies who don't make money. That's one of my rules. If it doesn't make money, why do I want to own it? So, our interests are really broader than that, though. We want to help you manage your money. And from time to time, maybe deposit, when you deposit a paycheck and when you collect the proceeds in retirement, you know, maybe you need more than just money advice. You know, just today, I had a long discussion with someone about insurance, whether they should buy it, what kind, you know, those kinds of things. You know, the goal for everybody is to make good, sound financial decisions and become financially independent. That's everybody's goal, right? And if you don't know about something, seek out, you know, competent advice from somebody who you trust. And hopefully someone who is competent. That's very important. So how do you determine if a company is competent or worthy of your dollars? A good deal of our day at KPP Financial is spent evaluating companies. We may already own the company. We still continually evaluate it because things change. Or maybe we're interested in purchasing it. Maybe it's time to sell. You know, you have to keep watching it. You know, and just for some information for you, here's two broad parameters for you to look at when you're thinking about buying a company. Return on equity and earnings yield. Return on equity and earnings yield. We've talked about these things before. What's return on equity? It's a measure of profitability for the company. And we like this figure to be in the mid-teens, maybe about 17%. So that may be high teens or higher. But be very careful. You just can't look at return on equity, and it's return on equity, and it's usually expressed in ROE, return on equity. And you got to be careful because, you know, you can have a high return on equity because the company has a lot of debt. And it's part of the calculation. So you got to think of what kind of company is it. If it's a bank, high debt is normal. But if it's not, wouldn't you rather have a company with low debt? So you got to be careful. You can't look at that number in a vacuum, just like you can't look at earnings yields in a vacuum. And this figure, earnings yield, or EY, is the inverse of the PE ratio. And we like a high earnings yield in relationship to the 10-year treasury. That used to be our old goal. We want 150% earnings yield of the 10-year treasury. So if the 10-year treasury is earning 3, we want earnings yield to be, you know, 4.5. But in today's market, you can't use that because of the low yield on the treasury. So we don't like to use the 10-year treasury right now in normal, non-Federal Reserve interference in the market with such extra low interest rates. Yeah, a normal interest rate environment, you could use that formula. Today, you can't. That's why it gets so difficult to give people, well, this is what you use, this, and this. Okay, we're done. No, I wish it was that simple. Things change. So now what kind of earnings yield do you do? Well, maybe use earnings yields on a 10-year corporate bond. Maybe that would be better. Maybe an investment-grade corporate bond. It's difficult. It's difficult, but those are two measures that you should always look at. And, of course, there are other factors that go into the process. If you have questions or want to talk more about the process of valuing companies, you give me a call right now, 888-99-CHART. We could talk about it. On our recommended books section on InvestTalk.com, there are books you can check you can use to figure out valuations. It's part of the whole process. Books are very, very useful. And maybe you have a question about converting your IRA to a Roth IRA. We're here for that too. You never know. I had that discussion with somebody else today. So please join in the conversation. I really would appreciate it. Before we go any further, let's go ahead and check the 24-hour listener line. We're here for you all the time. Our number is 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. This is Garrick from San Jose. Before I started listening to your show, I had bought into a universal life index fund, and I've learned that it's not a good investment. But I was wondering, I've been in a year into it, and I have about a little over $6,000 into the account. And if I were to cancel the account, I would get nothing back. So I was just wondering if, what do you think, if I should just take my losses now or continue with the policy? It's supposed to pay 15% max, and the losses are capped at a 7.75% gain, even if the market goes down. I would like your opinion on that. Thank you.
And he just pointed out there at the end, the sales pitch. Hey, it can never go down. I'm surprised his can even allow to go on. Hey, but they don't ever go down. They never go below your investment value. And then they tell you how much is the gains going to be. And they don't really tell you the whole story. I've gone through this so many times. The whole story is that they never tell you about the build up of capital gains inside these instruments. And then when you try to cash it out, you look at your statement and say, oh, I've done pretty well. That's really not what you've done, because you may have taxes owed on that. And they kind of give you a false idea of what your return is, and you don't really know what those taxes are until you call them up and ask them, or until they tell you what the kind of check you're going to get. So you got to be really, really, really careful. These are insurance contracts. Whether you should cash it out or hold on to it, man, you really need to look at the contract to see what the benefits are. Of course, my suggestion always is don't buy them in the first place. I'm not going to say they're never appropriate, but most times, as an investment, it's not a good idea. Okay, it's just not. Okay, every decision must be consistent with maintaining a high degree of diversification. What do I mean by that? Three symptoms of poorly diversified portfolios. Symptoms. I've talked about diversification. I've talked about risk management and spreading the risk. And we're going to keep talking about it till everybody that knows this topic frontwards and backwards. That's going to be our main talking point today. Other talking points today. I got something in the mail that I thought I'd share with everybody from the Social Security Administration. I'm 62. And I got a statement, your Social Security statement. And I kind of want to go over different parts of this to tell you what it's telling me. So I'm going to use my very own. You should get one too at a certain age. And what parts of this thing mean what? Okay. Apple Watch. Can Apple Watch sales reach 40 million sales? 40 million watches and sales? And why is that number important? And let's see. Oh, and one other point. I'm going to talk about the U.S. savings rates. Not only household savings rates, but household, business, government, and as a percentage of the national income. And where we are now, and is that a good or bad thing? And what does it mean? And finally, yesterday I was supposed to get to the city by city and look at house prices, and I didn't get to it. I want to get to it today. I'll make a special effort to try to get that today. And those actually are five things. Boy, I hope I can get to them. I hope so. The market rebounded. Dow up 121 points. NASDAQ up 74. And the S&P up 19. The Dow and the S&P did not rebound from yesterday's losses. But the NASDAQ did very well. Up 1.47% today. So why did the market go up? Well, there was a rumor about a deal in Greece. Oh, big surprise there, huh? Big surprise. There might be a deal in Greece. Greece has been pushing off their responsibility, but by June, they have to cough up some money. Gee, look, what is it now? May 27th. Gee, it's getting awful close to June. All of a sudden, we're going to have a deal. I thought they would even be later than this, and maybe it is, because this is just a strong rumor during the day that there was a deal. But we don't know that for a fact, so maybe there'll still be more dickering before the end. But and that's why I believe the market took that as a positive sign, and that's why, you know, you had an old rally. Okay. Wasn't anything in economic news today. It was pretty. The schedule was pretty blank today, so it couldn't have been that. We're glad you're here today. Don't hesitate to bring your questions to the program. You can get straight to me right now at 888-99-CHART, and I hope you will. 888-992-4278. Or, you know, you can write me a note directly. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. 888-992-4278. So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? First, let's talk about diversification, poorly diversified portfolios, and some symptoms of it. One of them is under diversification. And what does that mean? Well, it means that there are like five major asset classes and you're not taking advantage of them. You're only taking maybe advantage of one. What are the five major asset classes? Stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate, and cash. Okay, there's your asset classes. Some people never take advantage of cash. They think they have to be invested all the time. Cash is an asset. Yeah, it's not making anything right now, but also won't go down in value either right now. You know, so, but most people are just invested in stocks. And even if you are in stocks, okay, if you're 100% of stocks, that is a higher risk portfolio. Okay, then inside that higher risk portfolio, you can diversify, knowing that the whole portfolio is at a higher risk. Okay? If you had exposure to other asset classes, the whole portfolio would be at a lower risk. But then you could have over-diversification. Okay? I'll give you for instance on that. Maybe you have three large cap mutual funds. Well, you're way over diversified in large cap funds. They have what we call overlap. The funds own everything. They own each other. Let's say you have a S&P 500 fund, and you have a large cap growth fund, and then you have a large global growth fund. You're going to be that's too much diversification in one part of the market. You don't need that. Then you have the uneven diversification. What is that? Well, that means you might have, nine large cap mutual funds. Okay, so you're over diversified. And you have no exposure to commodities or real estate at all. But you have cash and you have some bonds. Is that really where you should be? Because you're kind of, okay, you have large cap over here and you have bonds over here, but do you have the proper diversification? You know, I've seen like dumbbell portfolios where they have a bunch of money, you know, of maybe a $500,000 portfolio, and $300,000 is high-tech stocks. And then $100,000 in short-term bonds. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, what's your goal here? Are you looking for income? No. Looking for growth? Well, why do you have the bond funds? Anyways, got to take a break. Thank you, and you're listening to Invest Talk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, there are a lot of moving parts in them, and most of us have only a vague idea of how they work. Do you know what your 401k is doing right now? That's our talking point for Thursday, May 28th. Please join us then.
You know, many of the things we talk about, you know, debt to equity ratio, earnings yield, all these things are important when you're developing a portfolio of stocks. You know, too many people call up and ask about a stock, and I always worry about, well, what other kind of stocks you have, and do you have the portfolio? But you also need to know how to evaluate a company. So, just pointing it out. Ready for any money questions you might have, 888-99-CHART is how you get us. Get to me, and you can do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So let's answer this question.
Hi, my name is Gary. I listen to your show by podcast. I'm calling from Massachusetts. And my question is Southwestern Energy. The symbol would be SWN, and I would like to know your valuation on that stock for the next 12 months. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye.
Okay, this is, of course, an energy company engaged in the exploration and production of oil, natural gas, primarily in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and Pennsylvania. It's a $10 billion company out of Texas. And, of course, the whole idea is, well, how is it going to do, how is oil going to do and how it's going to affect all the oil companies? Okay, this company is exploration, production of oil and natural gas. So you got to talk and think about natural gas. First thing you want to look at is how much of their business is natural gas, how much is oil. Okay? They're going to make 67 cents a share this year after making $2.27 last year. And that was a high for them for many years. Next year, they're going to make $1.08. So after falling 70%, earnings falling 70% this year, it's going to go up 61% next year. So, you know, it looks like you have a rebound. Sales, of course, have been falling, shrink. The sales growth has been shrinking. And the most recent quarter, March quarter, they actually fell 16% from a year ago. So, of course, the stock has fallen. I mean, it only makes sense, right? I mean, of course, earnings have gone down. It fell to like $22, bounced up to about 28.5. And today it's been falling for a week or so. It's now 26.66. Obviously, strong support in the low 20s, $22, $23. That's where the support is. What is the value on the upside? Well, $1.08. You know, if you give it a market P, that's 15. I think it will probably earn more than the market PE. I'm thinking that the stock is probably worth about $20 to $25, somewhere in that range. Here is at 26. But if you think oil is going to rebound, if you think it's really going to go up, then you kind of want to pick up these kinds of stocks. If it falls back down to the $23 range, that's where I would want to pick it up because it's fallen there twice and bounced, right at the beginning of the year and here now in March. So it looks like that might be a good place, but it may not go all the way down there, depending on what oil does. SWN, everybody, Southwest Energy Company. SWN. Okay, you know, there's something that we very seldom is talked about, and that's the very low savings rate we have in the United States. And it's not just household, you and me saving money. It's business, government, and household. The total savings rate as compared to the national income. And what is the national income, everybody? Does everybody know? About $13 trillion a year. Our total savings rate is about 2.5%. Now, is that good or bad or different? Actually, it's very poor. Why? Well, the last 30 years of the 20th century, the average savings rate was 6.3%. There it is, 2.5. Now, why does that matter? Remember, we're talking about the savings rate for household, business, and government. Because with such a low savings rate, we cannot grow our economy very well. We don't have the money to invest in our economy. We don't have enough. We have almost a third of what we had and for 30 years in the last, into the last 30 years of last century. So where do we grow? Well, we're still growing, aren't we? Yes, we are. How are we doing that? We're doing that by our trade deficit. We're doing it by using foreign money to grow our economy. That's how we're doing it. And it's not currency manipulation everybody's so worried about. That's really not the issue, not the problem. Is there currency manipulation? Yeah, but that's not really the problem. That's the political, let's scream at China and everybody else who's trying to control their currency. Let's go scream at them. When the real problem is here with ourselves. I'm not saying currency manipulation is not a problem. I'm just saying that's not the main problem. That's not the root of the problem. And that's what you have to start correcting, is the root of the problem. And that's because we're saving too little money. That money, when we save more money, more and more money, it gets invested into the economy, the system. That's what you need. And if we don't, if our economy needs more money, how we and we're, it's going to come from somewhere. So it comes from foreigners. Now, as you approach retirement, you're looking for a way to generate income. We have some ideas for you today on the next half hour on InvestTalk 101. So I hope you'll stay with me. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. And as you know, we do have a balanced income portfolio that focuses on income with a secondary goal of growth. But give us a call. I hope you'll stay here and listen to me. This is InvestTalk.
Coming up on Invest Talk, answers to your questions, any money matter, comparing load and no load mutual funds, how to gauge your needs in retirement, 888-99-CHART.
Love to talk to you. Invest Talk is a two-way conversation, as you know. But if you have a question between programs and you'd still like to ask it, well, you can do it. We'll play it on the next Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART.
I'm retired. My call is about 401k as well. I rolled my 401k into an IRA. I parked it, but is there anything you can roll it into that when you take it out, because I have to take minimum distribution, I'm over 70, or getting there, that it could be taken out as, what do you call it, capital gains or less than ordinary income? That's the biggie. Okay, thank you.
It's a really easy question. No, it's going to be added. Whatever you take out of your rollover IRA, your 401k, whatever you take out of those is going to be taxed at ordinary income rates. If it was a Roth, a Roth IRA, a Roth 401k, which just is fairly new, only a couple of years ago, anything you take out of a Roth is not taxed at all. And that's why I like over the years to build both. But if you're at, you know, you're at the required minimum distribution age at 70, the year you turn 70 and a half, then you have to take out from your regular IRAs, Roth IRAs or 401ks, the minimum they require so they can get their taxes. They want to tax you on that money. So no, there's really nothing you can do. It's not capital gains. It's not. Anything you pull out of the IRA or your 401k, anything you pull out at retirement age, you have to add that amount to your ordinary income for that year and taxed on it. Okay? Nothing you can do about that at this point. Not a darn thing. And again, that's why I like having both Roth and regular IRA in retirement, or because then if you needed money, you could take some from the Roth and some from the regular IRA and try to adjust the taxable consequences to keep in the lowest tax bracket. I just kind of like that idea. And thank you for the call. I appreciate it. If you have any questions about that situation, you know, you can give me a call. We'll talk about it. But there's really nothing you can do. 888-992-4278. Today I got in the mail, Social Security Administration, from the Social Security Administration, thinking about retiring. As I read, the three pages, back and front, and it's on my personal Social Security statement, okay? And they tell you exactly how much, I don't want to say exactly, because it says your payment would be about this amount. At full retirement age. My full retirement age is 66. I'm 62 now. And what's really interesting, you go through there, now you're reading it, and I'm reading the various parts, you know, and they give you a schedule of their Social Security tax benefits over the years, and you're supposed to verify that. I'd like to know how I'm going to verify 1970, 1971. I have no idea. Anyways, they tell you, and I'm going to pass this along, they tell you in the fine print here, make sure that you file for your benefits 3 months prior to your 65th birthday. even if you're not going to retire at 65 or collect your benefits. You still got 3 months before you. What you do is you file and suspend. Remember, I've talked about that before. And there's a little graph on the front that tells you at full retirement age, which is 66, and they give you a sample. If you were full retirement age and your benefit was $1,000, that if you took it at 62, it would be only $750 a month. If you waited till 70, remember I told you you get 8% more a year? Instead of being $1,000 at 66, it would be $1,320, $320 more per month if you waited. And, you know, if you live a long time, that really adds up a lot. They also tell you that it is cost of living attached, so it's adjusted every year based on what the cost of living is. Okay. They also very clearly say the laws can be changed here at any time. So it may not be anything. All this may be wrong if the Congress and the President decided, we don't like it. This is what we're going to do now. Just pointing it out. Kind of interesting. I got it. I didn't know it. Not solicited it, so I'm assuming everybody's going to get it at a certain age. Let's talk to David in Sonoma. How you doing, David?
Good, Steve. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
So, my question is, you kind of touched on it earlier, Roth conversion. So mm-hmm. I've got quite a bit of money in an IRA, mm-hmm. and I want start doing partial Roth conversions. I'm just not sure exactly how much you can do, if there's a limit annually, and if so, what that is,
okay,
and how often you can do it, I guess.
Okay, very good question, Jim. Appreciate the call. And what he's referring to, everybody, is Jim, I'm assuming you have a Roth IRA now, not a regular IRA now, right?
Well, and you know what? That kind of sparks another question.
Okay.
I have my company when I was working, and I'm retired now,
uh-huh.
they actually had a Roth in their 401k.
Okay.
And then when I retired, I also began a Roth in my IRA. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, how do they determine the date? I know you have to wait 5 years before you pull money. So how is that date determined? That's just another question to that first question, if you don't mind, if you have the time.
I'm not. Where are you getting 5 years that you have to wait to pull out of a Roth? I don't remember reading that anywhere, that you had to wait 5 years or any time on a Roth, pulling out a Roth. Money out of a Roth. How old are you, Jim? Are you at retirement age? I mean, David?
Say that again, please.
How old are you?
I'm 61.
Okay. So you still are not at what the government calls full retirement age. You would probably be 66, probably, your full retirement age, like mine. Okay. You can convert from a regular IRA or a rollover IRA, you can convert it to a Roth as much or as little as you want to. But remember, everything you convert, you're going to be taxed on income tax-wise. And, you know, so it's going to add to your income for the year. Now, if you say you're retired, your income should be fairly low, right? Hopefully. Not hopefully. But far from a tax point of view, you hope for it to be low, right? Your taxable income to be low. But you can convert pretty much all you want. Now, you need to talk to an accountant because you might have, you know, special situations for yourself, but they're the ones that really answer these questions. I just kind of know the rules. But yeah, you can convert all you want. And if you want to convert a little bit this year and a little bit next year, well, that used to be that you could only do it at a certain time and for, you know, this year and a certain amount. I think that's done away with now. You can convert it anytime you want, as much as you want. Okay?
Okay, so basically, just to clarify what you said, if, let's say, hypothetically, I convert $25,000 into a Roth this year,
mm-hmm.
and I want to start drawing money, let's say, whatever I had it invested in, made a little bit of money, I could actually pull that money out at any period of time?
You got to wait till you're, I think the minimum is 62. You're 61. So you got to wait till you're at retirement age. And it could be 59. See, this is what I mean. You've got to talk to an accountant because I'm not an expert. But once you're at a certain age, you can pull it all out without any issues.
Okay. So it doesn't have to stay in there a certain period of time. It's just based on your age then.
I think so. I'm pretty sure, but I'm not positive, Dave. I don't want to give you wrong information. Okay.
Maybe
we can have an accountant call in. If anybody is an accountant, know the exact rules, we'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear it. Or if you can email me, or I'll look it up, and Dave, I'll try to talk about it tomorrow and give you the proper information. Okay?
I'll be listening.
Thanks, Dave. Jim Sonoma, maybe you have something on Roth IRA that we can help us with this conversation.
Well, that young man ahead of me answered most of my questions with him, although I have heard the same thing. It's 5 years, you have to wait, which brings me to my question. If you and I are the same age,
uh-huh.
if I retire, I couldn't obviously do this while I'm earning money because I wait way too much. If I retire, I've only got between the years of, say, 66 and 70 and a half. I've got four and a half years to convert that traditional IRA into a Roth. I don't have a Roth now because I didn't qualify.
Right.
But I've only got that time. So if I'm if I'll use the round amount, say $10,000, and I'm in the 15% tax bracket, theoretically I should only have to pay $1,500 income tax. Now, when you guys have worked your studies out, is it useful to me to do that? Because already I'm $1,500 down. Mm-hmm. I have to wait 5 years, so I've got to wait till I'm 71 to do the first one, and then 72, and it goes on and on. So,
well, this 5 year situation that both you and David are talking about, see, that this is something that's not my bailiwick, and I'm going to have to look into that for you. But it's, for some reason, I think that the 5 year, because we're older and we are getting to a point where we're at full retirement age, we can start collecting Social Security, we are retired. And when we convert from a regular IRA to a Roth, we're paying taxes on all that money. I'm not sure once you convert it and you're at retirement age that you have to wait 5 years. I'm not sure about that, Jim. But I'm going to find out.
Well, the only reason I mention it is because I've heard the same thing. I've talked it over with my guy, and he basically says I've only got between, 66.
Right.
If I retire at 66 and 70 and a half. So I've got 4.5 years really to convert that money. You can't take it out of a 401k and convert it to a Roth at 70 because you have to take a minimum distribution. So you have to take the excess of that minimum distribution, which will push you into a higher tax bracket.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, I want to do it, but you got to play the tax brackets back and forth.
So. Yeah, I understand that. I understand that, the minimum required minimum distribution. See, this is kind of tricky. I think, if you talk to a tax guy, I would definitely believe him over me because this is not my area of expertise. And I'm going to look into it myself. I'm going to talk to my tax guy tomorrow because I never thought about doing it that. But
okay, I have one additional question on
sure.
that. Assuming you do that, assuming I do that and I take $25,000 out, forgetting the tax angle for a minute, what do you recommend that somebody invest in that Roth? I mean, inside the Roth, you can invest in anything you want.
Yes.
Dividend-paying stocks or...
Well, if you're at that age where you need to take less risk, yeah, you don't want to take full stock market risk at that point. But that goes to, is this money that you're going to need or is this money you're investing for to give away to your next generation? See, I have that situation. How wealthy are you? Do you need it? And if you need it, do you need it soon or do you need it? You may never need it. And then that tells you.
I don't need it, and I don't have anybody to leave it to. So.
Well, then I would say, yeah, you want to take more risk with it just to grow it. If you want to, you're in the lucky situation, Jim, where you have the choice. That's really nice. And it's up to you what comfort level you. And if you want some high dividend paying ETFs or I'll help you with whatever you want. I'll send it to you. I got a list. Yeah. Depends on what you want, Jim, and what's comfortable for you. If you don't mind taking the stock market risk because you don't really need the money and it's kind of fun to you, maybe you want to buy a group of stocks to watch.
Well, I know that's not taxed out of a but is the would a dividend be taxed out of that? Would a dividend be taxed out of a Roth?
No, not if it's in the Roth. Only when you As long as it's in the Roth, it stays in the Roth. Yeah, no.
Well, yeah, then I would assume then a high dividend paying stock should be the way to go.
Yeah.
You know.
Or an ETF or a group of them. You know, it depends on how diverse you want. Yeah. If you're looking for, I only mention ETFs because I have a list of high dividend paying ETFs. That's what they focus on. Big blue chip stocks. So be happy to share it with you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate it. Anyway, time for Invest Talk 101, and we don't have a lot of time for it, but. Okay, well, I guess I have a good and even time. As you approach retirement, just as we were talking to Jim there, you want to generate income. And he was talking about generating income through dividends, and there are certain sectors that do that. Utilities are very popular. They are known for their dividends, dividend-paying ability. But more recent REITs, real estate investment trusts, can make a lot of sense for paying dividends. Okay, so you might want to consider REITs, real estate investment trusts. You trade them like stocks, and it gets you involved in the real estate, which is a little bit different than the stock market. And there's other sectors, healthcare, real estate. You know, typically these areas pay higher dividends, and if that's what you're demanding, especially us baby boomers, we kind of want the dividends. But be very careful with dividends. Make sure they can afford the dividends. Make sure the dividend, what we call the payout ratio of their earnings, are they making enough money to pay out the percentage that they're paying out, or are they overpaying and they got to do something, borrow money or something? So you got to be careful there. So that's Invest Talk 101, okay? Dividends. When you're an Invest Talk insider, you have, of course, lots of opportunities to learn. We have concise, simplified reports written personally by myself and Justin. Important topics like annuities, wills, trusts, retirement programs, life insurance, and an update ETF list of more than just dividend-paying ETFs. So if you're interested, you can sign up now on InvestTalk.com.
InvestTalk is all about above-average investing for the average investor. How do you prepare your retirement plan for a volatile market? Talk about it now, 888-99-CHART. Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Our next live webinar will help you understand the opportunities out there in emerging and foreign markets. If you're interested, this is a one-hour session about global investing. Steve and Justin see this as a solution to our overpriced domestic market if you do it right. Join them June 4th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. It's free, but you do need to register. You can do that on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART. Before the end of the show, I want to get to this before the end of the show because I didn't get to it yesterday. City by city, look at house prices. Okay, what is happening? Now we're talking about the most recent month and the yearly gain. And I mentioned there's one city that is clearly surges ahead of everybody else. And it's San Francisco. Last month, the monthly gain for San Francisco was 3%. Over the last year, 10.3%. That's the highest of all the major cities. Okay, what do you think the next one might be? Well, it depends if you go by the month or the year. But there's none that 3%. The closest one to San Francisco for the month is Seattle, 2.3%. Then the others, and there's about 15 or 20 of them, it's 1%, a little bit over 1% or less. So between Seattle and San Francisco, last month, that was the biggest monthly gain. San Francisco, Seattle. Seattle was 7.5% for the year. Remember, San Francisco was 10.3. For the year, the closest one would be to San Francisco is Denver, and that was up 10%. 10%. Atlanta was up 5.4, Boston up 4.5, Charlotte, North Carolina 5.8, Chicago 3.4, Cleveland 1, Dallas 9.3, Denver 10, Detroit 4, Las Vegas, 5.7 last year and 1.1% for the month. Remember, Las Vegas just got crushed. Remember that? Now, what's also very interesting is that these prices are still 16% below the peak in 2008 on average. Okay? They're still up nicely, but they're still below the peak. And San Francisco's 10.3 annual gain is the first double-digit year-over-year increase since July 2014. Are we in a bubble? Is this a bubble because of this? And in general, I'm going to have to say probably not. I would not describe it. So it's just probably not a bubble at this point. It's not bubble-ish. Let's try to answer one more question, one more listener line question before the end of the show. 888-99-CHART. It's always open 24 hours a day.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Matt from Massachusetts. Listen to your podcast on a daily basis. Have a question for you about Seadrill Partners, symbol S, like Sam, DLP, and United Community Banks, UCBI. Just interested in what your thoughts are, if it's a good spot to buy it, sell it. So look forward to your response. Thanks a lot. Bye now.
Okay, Seadrill Partners. That's different than Seadrill. Seadrill Partners Limited Liability Corporation owns and operates 9 offshore drilling rigs operating in Canada, Mexico, Nigeria, and Angola. And what's interesting is even though their earnings have been pretty erratic, sales are pretty decent. Even the most recent quarter, they say the most recent quarter is December. They still haven't reported for the first quarter this year. It was up 35% sales growth. Pretty impressive. And you buy this because of the dividend, by everybody. That's what you're buying it for. The dividend yield, they say, is 15.2%. Now, when you read that number, a red flag should immediately pop up in your head because that's so abnormally high. How are they doing that? And the P.E. ratio is 7. They're going to make $2.66. How can they do that? Remember our little discussion on return on equity? Return on equity of this company is 23%. What did I say that you had to be careful of when you're looking at return of equity? I was talking about debt, wasn't I? How much debt? Because that's part of the return on equity equation. And this company has tons of debt. So that return on equity is maybe not correct. And if you look at it, they've had 4 issues of stock shares in the last 2 years. None so far this year. But 2013 and 2014, 4 additional shares. So they diluted the shareholders. So I take a look at the numbers very, very carefully. I'm a little bit suspect of this company because of that 15.2%. It's hard to get that kind of rate. Before we close for the hour, a reminder to sign up now for our June 4th webinar. It's at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. We're looking for bargains in emerging and foreign markets. How do you find them? We'll help you. We'll help you look for those bargains. I hope you join us. You can find out more and sign up on InvestTalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. And for Justin Klein, everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.